guys. It is a, as always, it is an honor and a privilege that this church has trusted and bestowed upon me to lead students, to be a part of their life. As I always think about, and you know, there's so many out there who do youth ministry because it's a stepping stone to becoming a pastor. You know, I'm going to do that for a few years, get some experience. You know, for me, it's not. For me, it's my heart. I love students. Even when come about night four, I'm tired and I'm drained, and like I'm wore out. Like yesterday morning, I didn't budge really until about like 9:30 yesterday morning. And I still didn't even want to get up. So tired. But it is, I say all that, it's an honor and a privilege. And I am grateful every day to this church for trusting in me for that. I want to share just a quick story that happened this week. It was really just, it was funny. And then I want to walk you through a passage and how we, some stuff we did this week. But so we decided to have a fun outing day, and we went to ride go-karts, you know, and went over to a little fun zone and just had some fun time, just away from the condo, no competition, you know. And so first round, here we go. I'm just driving, having some fun. Here comes Renee and Caitlin. You know, Caitlin can't leave her mama's side, but she just, they're in that little double car. Here they come, just driving. So I'm, you know, hey, if you ain't rubbing, you ain't racing. Ain't that the motto? So I was like, hey, let's have a little fun. So I just start bumping Renee, and she starts bumping me back. Next thing I know, she catches my back tire and spins me out. So I'm sitting there and watching everybody fly by. The guy finally comes and gets me. And I was like, well, payback's got to come, right? Oh, buddy, did it come. The next thing we did was they were called bumper boats. If you ain't never done bumper boats, I hadn't. And I didn't realize how wet you'd get doing bumper boats. You're sitting on this thing, floats on water, drives around, and they give you a little gun in it to shoot water. I made it my mission. I was just going to target Renee the whole time. Renee could have been drier if she would have just got down in the water and got back out. I followed her the whole time in that boat, just squirting her with water. I mean, she was just drenched. I mean, there wasn't a dry spot. And if I saw a dry spot on her shirt, I made sure I drove my boat around that spot and started shooting. At one time, she just stopped shooting me back and just started laughing. The youth said they noticed it was going in her mouth and she was laughing. And so I want to thank Renee and John and Leah and Jillian. It does mean a lot that you take a part of your week, part some of you vacation to go to give up. So this week we took the time, we started from verse 1, and we walked through all 12 chapters. And I shouldn't use the word run. I mean, like, if you've ever studied Daniel, to do it in the amount of time we did, it was more like, we was running. I mean, we were fast-paced going through it. Because there's so much. As I was beginning to prepare and begin to study for the week, like, I would think about, oh, that's good. I want to pull that out. I don't really got time for that because, I mean, we're trying to go. So I had to limit and had to think about what did we need to focus on? Where did we need to go? The main thing we can ever teach students and we can teach ourselves is the gospel. And so this week, I wanted to teach him a valuable tool, because we don't, a lot of times when we're in Old Testament, we don't think about the gospel. Well, that's New Testament. That's Jesus. And so I wanted to teach them this week, as we walk through Old Testament books, how do we bring it back to the gospel message? So that's what we did. As I stood up and I taught my lessons, I made sure to make a focus in on that, how to bring it back. And I gave them three questions at the beginning of the week to ask as they were going through this book in passages to help bring it back. Question number one was, how does it help me understand who God is? All right? How does it help me understand who God is? Because we must have a right understanding of who God is before we can go to question two. Question two is how does it help me understand who man is? So we need to understand in the gospel message, we need to understand who God is versus who man is. Because when we look at it, we can completely see that God is holy, righteous, and pure. Where man is, he is selfish, he is sinful, he is everything opposite of God and would chase after everything. So how does it help us understand who man is? And number three question I gave him was, how does it point to God bringing healing, grace, mercy, salvation to his people? So how does God bring these things? And you could even add other things to that. But how does God bring these things to you? And so this morning, I want to just, we're going to be quick, we're going to be fast, because I didn't understand, I didn't realize, you know, how long they would be, how short. So I want to walk through that with you just real quick, kind of how we did it this week, how as I studied and I prepared. So if you have your passages, you can open up to Daniel 3, and Austin kind of gave us a little glimpse. I just want to look at one little short three verses here this morning, and that is Daniel. Daniel 3, 16 through 18 this morning. And, you know, the question kept getting asked over and over and over is, you know, we call Daniel by his Hebrew name, but we never call these guys by their Hebrew name. You ever wonder why that is? Anybody? I mean, We always refer to them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But, you know, so real quick, so they're I just want to pull this out, is that their Hebrew names was Hananiah, which means Yahweh is gracious. Mishael means who is what God is. And Azariah means Yahweh is helper. All right? So, but we'll keep with what the scripture says right here. So if you want to look with me, 3, starting in verse 16 here. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning furnace fire. And he will deliver us out of your hands, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship your golden image that you have set up. So we look at a short passage that way. And what I want you to see here is think back to question one. How does it help us understand who God is? These students who have spoke, they've said it over and over again. We see it throughout the book of Daniel. The first thing is that God is in control of everything. God is sovereign. We can start from chapter 1, and we can just go verse by verse over and over of how God is in control, how God is working. If we start from start in chapter 1 in verse 8, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine or drink. Therefore, he asked the chief priests and the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. Here we go in verse 9. And God gave Daniel favor. We see God in control. You skip down right there to verse 17. As for these four youth, God gave them the learning and the skills. Over to chapter 2, verse 11. These things that the king asks is difficult, and no one can show them to the king except the gods who is dwelling is not with flesh. Down to 20, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of the God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. 28 of 2, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries and has made known to Nebuchadnezzar. God, yet again, going down to 44 in chapter 2, and in these days the king, the God of the heaven, will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. 45, just as we saw that the stone cut from the mountain by no human hands, and that it broke into the pieces of iron and the bronze and the clay and the silver and the gold, as great God has made known to this king. 47, the king answered and said to Daniel, truly your God is God of gods. And so then we even get here to verse 3. Or chapter 3 in verse 17, and if it be our God, we recognize our theology is shaping to the understanding that God is sovereign, God is in control, God is in His providence working, even when we cannot see or when we don't understand, He is working. We also come to an understanding that God is the only one who deserves our worship. These three guys, they understood. After all that had happened to them, you think about it. They're drugged from their homeland. Their names are changed to try to strip them of who they are. They're re-educated because their education is not good enough, because their education could point towards their God. So we're going to re-educate them. But yet they never waver. They never change. They understood. And so we come to understanding that God is the only one who deserves our worship. So question one right there is answered. We see that quickly here in these three verses. Question number two, if you go back to it, is how does it help us understand man? Well, we have two aspects of man here. The first one is Nebuchadnezzar. He shows us pretty much the worst of man. He shows us that we can think of ourselves so highly that we would build a golden image, that we would put ourselves, our pride, we would put ourselves up on a pedestal and think so highly of ourselves. And don't for a second think, well, I would never do that. We are all capable of going to this point. We may not be able to build a golden statue that is 60 foot high, but understand this, that there you could go to that point. Without the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you, you could go as far as that. So Nebuchadnezzar shows us how wicked man could be. But the three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, shows us also another aspect. They show us that we are helpless to the point of saving ourselves. They understand that there's nothing they can do. There's nothing that they could do to talk their way out of this. There's nothing they could do to save themselves from going to this point. They understand that. And for in our spiritual lives, we must come to the understanding is that we can't save ourselves. As I communicated with them this week, If we could have done something to save ourselves, would it not have been the most cruelest thing God could have ever done would have been to crush Jesus? Think about that. If you could have done something to save yourself, the cruelest thing God ever did was crush Jesus. There was a reason Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So it helps us come to understanding that we cannot save ourselves. That they lean upon God. And they say it right there in 17. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. But the beauty is that they don't just say that, you know, hey, they don't say he's going to save us from the fiery furnace. He's able to deliver us out of your hands. So no matter what, no matter if we are burned alive, or yet we walk out of this, our God delivered us. He saved us. They didn't point to, well, we're being good boys, we're doing what we're supposed to do. They just pointed to God. It's so easy for us a lot of times when we take the book of Daniel and turn it to a book about be good moral people. Look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Look at Daniel. They were good, and they did this, and they did that. That's why God, no, they understood. They were at a helpless state. They understood that God was the only one who could deliver them. And yet, he may deliver them from the king's hand by taking their life right now. How does it point to God bringing healing, grace, mercy, or salvation to his people? Well, we see that. And first of all, you know the rest of the story. This is a story we teach from little kids on. It's a story we ought to teach. It's amazing. I will point this real quick. Sometimes I'm amazed, like the stories some of us, we take for granted that we know, like this one and other ones. Sometimes you get meeting with teenagers, especially maybe ones that didn't grow up in church. They don't know these stories sometimes. And sometimes we take these stories for granted because we've just heard them so many times. But they're still beautiful. They're still wonderful. They're still God's sacred word. So I say that we see that God would bring salvation to them, no matter what. We just kind of talked about that. Question two and question three here kind of go together. We see that they understood God would bring it. Even if he doesn't, he would bring us. That, guys, what we need to understand is That is the gospel message. Is that God is holy, he is righteous, he deserves all worship that is ours. He deserves it all. Because he is the one, he is the creator, he is the true God, he is in control, he is sovereign. But yet as man, we have turned our backs, we have chasing after other things, we have created idols, golden images. It may not be of Nebuchadnezzar, but we have done it of other things in our lives. We have chased after the worldly desires and the pleasures of this earth over and over and time again. And yet we have no hope, we have no right standing before God Almighty. We have no way to save ourselves, but yet, and through the form of his Son, Jesus Christ, he comes and he dies, lives the perfect life, fulfills the law to become that connection, to make us, to be our justification, our propitiation before a holy and righteous God. And without that, we stand helpless. And yet, he delivers us through his Son, Jesus, not by anything we could do. So we never look at the Old Testament as it's pointless. There's no purpose in it. Elijah, why do we study the Old Testament? to show our great need of a Savior. It shows us over and over again. It shows us over and over again our great need for a Savior. He had to remind the people of Israel. That's why he sends them in exile. He sends them in exile to remind them, hey, you need me. I don't need you. You need me. I'm the Creator. I'm God. I'm holy. So he has to prune them. Pat, why don't we prune things? Why don't we prune our rose bushes or any flowers? Why don't we prune them? Cut the dead off. But what happens when we prune them? They grow better. They grow better. Have you? Sometimes God has to do some pruning. And that's what he does to the Israelites here in Daniel. He got to do some pruning. He sends them in exile. But yet again, over and over, he shows his mercy. He shows his grace. And then we're reminded again of the gospel, the good news. As Paul put it, it is the only thing that has the power to save man. I hope as maybe you start a new study in the Old Testament sometime in your personal walk, I encourage you to do the same. Look for the gospel. How do you bring it back to the gospel? How do you see Jesus Christ in it? So, would you pray with me this morning? We're just going to have a time of worship to praise this King, King of Kings and Lord of Lords this morning. Pray with me this morning. Dear gracious Lord, we are humbled. God, that you would pursue us. God, you would pursue a people who would rather turn their backs on you and run after anything else rather than you. But God, that is the beauty in the gospel, is that it is a message of you pursuing us. God, of how we were helpless and how, you saved us. God, how you will deliver us. So God, this morning, as we just take this time now, this morning, God, this altar is open. If somebody wants to come and pray and just spend some time with you, God, this altar is open. But God, may we stand to our feet and may we sing from a heart, God, that just wants to worship and love you right now for what you have done. God, it's in your name we pray. Amen.